again for the third time.
Are we recording our meeting?
I think so.
Something?
No, I was recording and I was hoping to catch some fish and hadn't caught any yet, but we might.
What's that mean?
But what's that mean? I hit the record button. I want something more interesting than food and.
You're on. Fire it up, baby.
Exotic topic. Yeah, what is this anyway? I like that. What was the bipod?
Bipod.
Anthropod. Wait,
what are we?
We are. No, okay, so I'll start because I really have a serious question for Jeff. Jeff, every morning I start my day by claiming what I am, and you have caused me to worry about this. And perhaps you have a better thing to say. Here's what I am currently saying. Here's what I currently say, and this is from my
5 seconds. I don't know anything else.
This is from my history of technology professor, who says that we are bipedal arthropods with color stereoscopic vision,
as opposed to like birds or dogs or things like that. That you know, dogs don't have color; they're quadrupeds. This is what we work with. If you watch the Terminator very closely, the word arthropod comes up as he's scanning. Blah, 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 this is an arthropod because that means you have a skeleton inside. So, but now Jeff has had me add a little thing at the beginning. It may be that I am a bipedal arthropod with color stereoscopic vision.
Start there.
So, but what would you consider me are if I'm not a bipedal arthropod with color stereoscopic vision? What in God's name am I?
Yeah.
If there is a God.
Right.
I'm getting good at this.
You are getting good. Yeah.
No, just add, put that last thing at the end.
I think you nailed it. Next.
Wait a minute. Don't we have a better moniker for that word like the meat puppet?
Sure.
I think we refer to it as the meat puppet.
How many levels deep on the holodeck are we now?
It's a holodeck.
You know,
like even in the best episodes, they only went maybe like two levels deep before they realized that they were thinking they were in the functional universe, but then there were little things breaking apart when someone as clever as Geordi would say is like, Captain, I think we might still be on the holodeck, right?
That's what has brought me here, is little things like that, that little glimpses in the universe that are not really explainable in Newtonian.
So the urgency, especially if you're, you know, managing a interstellar voyage, right? You don't want to remain too long in simulation.
No, you gotta be the real thing.
You have to get back to the fucking bridge. Because there might be worlds to explore or dangers to defend against. So let's say that transition from sleeping when you're not particularly concerned with yourself starts to shift into that intermediary zone where it might be time to start the day, you, whatever consciousness imagines itself to be just about then, insists on getting to the bridge. It's not pleased, nourished even, to be two or three levels down on the holodeck. But the dilemma is that there is no bridge. There's only holodeck. And for, let's just say, the inertia of an identity that presumes birth, death, something in between called me, as a stereoscopic, color-based, bipedal arthropod, I want to get back to the bridge. And you can't. And that, you could say, fundamental neurosis or challenge of inhabited consciousness, you know, begets the mayhem of what we consider, you know, the species at large. The hubris of civilization and the political, religious, spiritual, etc., institutions are all, you could say, the naive outgrowth of the urgency to get to the bridge when all there is holodeck. And so that...
I should kind of built the bridge.
That urgency for, let's call it, you know, individualized or individualistic orientation, you could say is the root of all exploitation and violence.
Is that the same as ego?
Sure, if you want to, yeah. Ego is always a dangerous word to use because it's only got three letters and there's just so much misinformation associated with it across, you know, the scale of various religious and spiritual systems, including Course in Miracles, you know, and Freud, and on and on and on and on. So if you dispatch the inconvenient shorthand of E-G-O, it's more fun or terrifying, depending on how you're feeling about it that day, to ask the same question that you articulated so well and see that you're not going to end up with a satisfactory answer.
And if you don't end up with a satisfactory answer to that, and your meat puppet life is not satisfactory either.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
you're one fucked meat puppet.
I think what you're saying is that the act of asking the question, what's a better statement about what I am, has already taken me in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, not necessarily in the wrong direction, but if what we're referring to is consciousness, then there is none, but you might want to refer to this as something, especially as concerns personality, let's just say consciousness. It's hell-bent on, let's just say, figuring itself out, or on creating a cogent orientation.
I've got to the point where I claim it every morning as I step out the door.
Okay, but now there's an interesting question that says, what is the, call it the act, and it's not really an act, it's more an outguessing. What is the actual outguessing of this claiming? It's not like you do claiming. Because that's just way too subtle involuntary to take credit for.
I'm speaking to the camera I can't see.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's a useful metaphor for the few seconds that it might be useful. But look, here's this, and its principal demonstration is to evaporate, not to sustain. But by virtue of the, let's call it the fact that the evaporation doesn't quit, it looks like sustain. But all it is evaporation. But if we mistake the evaporation, because it doesn't quit, as the so-called dubious capacity to sustain oneself, well, then you are one fucked meat puppet. Because all association and identification, whether with the body or the mind, one's life experiences, irritability, the hope for release of that irritability, is hypnotic and can only become afflictive on the foundation of being a sustainable, right, creature. But you're not.
Oh, you're a creature, oh man, there's that question.
Yeah, so, and that's not what this is. It's not actually what it is. It's stranger than that, or, you know, different than that. I mean, I don't know what, you can't say what it is. Look, no moment has any duration, and yet when the claiming occurs, right, the claiming is kind of a freezing reflex. Like, I want to know what this is, what I am, where I am, why I am, how I am, what to do with myself, how to give back, how to pay it forward, how to fuck my enemies, how to get more money, you know, how to avoid chemtrails.
It's just start off as a statement that has me grounded every morning when I step out the door. This is where I am.
Well, to isolate it to the transition from sleep to waking consciousness is not that important. Are you doing it now?
No.
Okay. Then you may have already taken purchase of it this morning, and now it's smooth sailing.
Okay.
Or if that's not done, let's say what we're calling the act of claiming is not done or does not occur, does not bind you to your present experience, well, then what the fuck are you?
Yeah, well, that's why I couldn't figure that out. I might be a person, but then I might be a bipedal arthropod.
You might.
But I might not.
You might not. Yeah. And even the incessant reflex to claim on behalf of oneself is the myth of oneself. It's the perpetration and perpetuity of the myth of oneself. And yet the incoming analog and digitization of sensation and association is, remarkable. It's in full saturation. Ongoingly, it's a total full saturation, and it's not concerned with its affairs, but all of a sudden we become concerned with its affairs. Then you are one fucked meat puppet. And that's okay, too.
The level of concern with its affairs is usually correlated to the level of suffering.
All right. Unless those affairs are going your way.
And they will for a while, and then they won't.
They can appear to. So like anything that appears, let's say, in memory, which is what the biped relies upon to tell a cogent story about its irritabilities or its wins, that is absolute hypnosis. If there's anything that's true, and thank God there's not, it's like, what the fuck is this? What the fuck is this? What the fuck is this? And that's all you've got. But we get tired, understandably, of what the fuck is this? And so it's like, well, I must be a fucking stereoscopic biped with places to go and people to see. Because that makes this, like, somehow more palatable. But once you've made this more palatable because you imagine yourself to be durable, well, now you're, you're a shit-out-of-luck meat puppet. Because the myth of continuity of self, which you have insisted upon just to make some sense of this, seems to be wrought with all kinds of consternation and insecurity. So you're kind of fucked if you do, and you're fucked if you don't, and who the fuck cares? Because it's not up to you anyway.
Happy sermon today.
Yeah. Have some cranberry sauce.
It is a happy sermon.
I mean, the flowers are blooming, right. The birds are chirping, and we're all...
How on earth... Yeah, well, exactly. I love this church.
It's pretty good today.
Could I get an amen?
I mean, let's say this is Higgs bosonic, right? Or, full of quarkettes. Well, how did these, let's just say, so-called fundamental, non-temporal, non-spatial, acausal, so-called building blocks turn out to be the likes of you? Hi.
I'll get back to you.
Yeah, keep us posted. Send a postcard. Send a postcard from the other side. You first have to construct the myth of yourself to then find something useful to complain about. And if you're interested in happiness or the kinds of things that, go along with so-called happiness or joy, security, affection, compassion, sustainability, kumbaya, you're mistaken.
Lack of radioactivity?
Lack of radioactivity. Why not include that? Yeah, you're mistaken.
We won't even go into politics.
Oh, please don't.
Speaking of mistaken.
And you can see, let's just say, from the myth of your own life, one is loaded with artifacts, icons, cogent stories, obligations, responsibilities, regrets, past, future, present, spiritualism, whatever it might be, religiousism, how's my bank account doing as I near retirement? I mean, you're just loaded with, like, fuck me. And being loaded with all of that content can be somewhat wearisome. And yet, the reflex is, as wearisome as myself turns out to be, I can't seem to quit wanting to resolve it. I'm tired to the bone, but I just keep wanting to resolve myself.
How could you resolve it?
You can't.
It's not even a question. I'm tired of it. It's nothing resolvable.
Okay. Well, then, let's say you've traveled through the jungle to that point, you can drop your machete and jump into piranha-infested waters, and you're good to go. It's a nibble fest, and you're what's for lunch.
I try to come here as often as I can.
So do I.
What's more interesting is try not to.
Yeah, really, try not to. I think once you've been inoculated with a taste, I hate to be spiritual about it, but a taste of transcendent joy, you're going to want more of that. And we're not selling transcendent joy, because that's really your business. And I don't want to be associated with it. But I'm happy to, remark upon the, let's just say, foolish manner in which a sense of self arises out of nowhere, which, could turn out to be useful for your contemplative purposes.
Do you think the sense of self that arised out of nowhere was evolutionarily advantageous back in the day?
Absolutely. Absolutely not. I don't know. Back in what day? You can't find anything other than what appears to be present, and it's not. So if there's a back in the day, then you can write whatever script about back in the day you want to.
I see. I retract my question.
Yeah. All right. That's a point for this team. I mean, the evolutionary card comes up in these kinds of conversations from time to time because, the mirage of the bipedal, meat puppet wants to imagine that their insanity is justifiable somehow by virtue of advantageous survivability. And so, so 7-point-something billion of us have accomplished advantageous survivability. According to McPherson, it's lights out in 8 years for the entire species. But, he's just an exaggerated naysayer. But, it's fucking lights out. So yeah, did the mechanisms of mind, discernment, discrimination, fear, opposable thumb, neocortex, the capacity for symbology and abstraction give us a survivable advantage? Maybe just for this long, but not really in the long run. So the jury's out on whether this was a failed or a useful experiment.
If you phrase it in terms of was civilization a good idea?
Yeah,
then it's pretty clear. It was all of this did not help.
Okay then. Yeah, and even valuing that is according to what set of right? I don't know. Yeah.
From the planet's point of view.
You remember that scene in the first Lost Ark, Raiders from the Lost Ark, right? When the Ark was opened foolishly by the Nazis that wanted control over everything, which is me, right? Then once the Ark was opened, the heroes had to put blindfolds on.
Don't look
because
at
once the light of God came pouring out of the Ark, all the Nazis' faces just, right, melted. That's this. This is just Nazi face melting.
Okay,
all the time.
There is the logo I've been looking for the Night Sky Sangha T-shirt.
Yeah.
Night Sky Nazi face Nights melting
all the time,
three Nazi times a week.
Yeah. Right before that happened, you remember what he explained? It's beautiful.
That's right. It was. It's beautiful, and then they melted into pulp. Well put. Thank you. Well played. Yeah, so that's this. It's beautiful. It is. It's like beyond, well, it's beyond beautiful. I mean, beautiful is too small for what this actually is. But the reflex to convert this otherwise transcendent, transient beauty into coherence, well, that's original sin. That's the meat puppet.
That's suffering.
Yes, of course, it has to be.
The apple.
And you're not going to avoid suffering, and why should you? You're not going to emancipate from suffering, why should you? You needn't. I mean, having a quarrel with suffering is what? More suffering. And you'll remain in that loop for the long haul. Because thanks, Brian. Because one person after another, pedigreed or otherwise, are going to try to solicit you into their program for suffering less. And you're going to open your wallet each and every time. Once you appreciate that, you know, suffering's cool. I'm down with suffering. You get to keep your money. You might go to fewer retreats, but you get to keep your money.
That's so non-human.
I know.
It's just so non-human not to, like,
yeah,
take the painkiller.
I know.
Of multiple forms.
Yeah, and we're not suggesting, you know, go to the dentist and say, no nitrous for me. No, double up.
Not this group.
Yeah, double up on the nitrous. I mean, do everything and anything you feel like you can, should do to ameliorate what you think the problem is. Knock yourself out. Stay with it. Give it your full attention. You're not going to find any particular satisfaction in it because there's no satisfaction to be found. Erasure, that's the way to happiness. Happiness is not the way to happiness. And you're in luck because this is Nazi face melting, so it's perfect erasure. 24/7, it never quits. Even in the midst of the curious capacity to lay claim to consciousness as my own. That's a myth. It occurs, but you're not getting any mileage out of it. Except maybe through more suffering.
I quit getting mileage out of it, and it's your fault.
All right. Well,
so you were getting mileage out of it.
Every day, but now it doesn't work.
As you can tell, the way I function, I apologize most every day to most every person I meet.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry again.
I understand that's the mechanic in place here, but just I'm coming to grips with this, that what I used to do is no longer applicable thanks to the things you've said.
Okay, well, I mean,
and I really mean it. Thank you. I appreciate that, but now I'd have to come up with a new thing.
I'll put that one on the website as, you know, the first testimony. Here's what this guy said about the nice guy, Sangha. Fuck you, you've ruined my life.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, well, okay, fantastic.
It's not ruined my life. It's made me. I feel I'm sort of awake, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the price. Yeah, you feel awake. That's the fee.
Well, there's a setting down of a lot of expectations for what the next whatever is going to do.
Sure.
And even if you're not setting it down, you're sitting back laughing at yourself, going, "You really think you're going to like get something?" When I talk about heading up to see Jeannie and playing that poetry and the tears, it's like I'm driving to Massachusetts, I'm going to yet another retreat, I'm crying my eyes out because I can't believe it's going to give me anything.
Yeah, right.
And I used to, you know, get in the car, eager, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, ready to roll.
Yeah.
You set that down and it's not like I set it down, but it's just pretty obvious. It's like in my face.
Yeah, and the obviousness of that will, let's say, first start to shine a light on the imagination of your life. And that's disturbing. But it gets worse than that, thankfully.
what is it?
Because you could say it's a kind of a reflexive, call it deferral, to shine a light on the imagination of one's life and then find agreeable or disagreeable conclusions. But we'll do that for a really long time. We'll never grow tired of it. But it gets more intimate when even the reflex to lay claim or even shine a light on the myth of your life, as that starts to relax, then you're like, am I late for the retreat? I forgot to pack.
Oh, wait a minute, I forgot to
and
go.
And I'm not even going to ask for a refund. Is anybody hungry? I don't even think I want to do anything about my suffering. That really scares me. I don't think I want to do anything about my suffering anymore, and now I don't know what to do. I can't tell anybody about it. I can't justify it. I don't even care if it goes away. I don't want to read anything. Fuck. I used to raid Ramana Maharshi just to get a lift. I can't do that anymore. I raise peacocks, they all die. I wanted to go to a holy river, but I just couldn't leave the bathtub. The reflex to process is, you could say, it's a segue between one vocabulary and another. Just like learning a new language is typically, there's a segue period, right? I start interpreting the new language from the point of view of the old language, but I don't get really good at the new language until I can, they say, dream in the new language. Then it's embedded, right? Then it's organic. So the same way with trying to make sense of the myth or the imagination of one's life. Trying to use an old language, which is the language of me, as consciousness, embodied consciousness, trying to learn what this might be, if not that. And you can't. But that segue can last a long time. And you might have to go to a lot of retreats and teachers and books and self-helps and dietary explorations and tantra if you're lucky to see, you know, where that might take you. It's not going to take you anywhere because you never began. You can't really begin. And so where are you going? You can't really inhabit this. And so what's it to you? But if it is something to you, well, make the best of it. Sign up and make the best of it.
The thing that makes me drive an hour each way is that I can't stay here.
Yeah.
Okay, I acknowledge that I can't get where you got to go, but I can't stay here.
Here? What do you mean by here?
Here, the three-dimensional Newtonian stock market credit card world.
You're not here. You don't have to worry about staying or not staying. You're not here. You're not anywhere. You don't have to. You don't actually have to reconcile where you think you are with where you might actually be. Because you're might actually not anywhere, nor will you ever be. So you can drop the reconciliation.
Well, that would be very nice if I could drop the reconciliation. I'm
okay.
I can work on that.
That's why you could say we have a conversation like this, which is the recognition that, you know, it's rough to be a dumb fuck meat puppet, even with stereophonic color vision. And, gee, wouldn't it be nice to get past the notion that I should need to do something about myself? So it might be worth driving a distance from time to time. I can't tell you how many miles I put on my cars and airplanes and shit trying to figure this fucking garbage out. You know, I'm not proud of my resume. It just looks like a dumb seeker fucker trying to work this out, like they all do. So what? They all look that way. I took the five precepts, broke them all. Methodically. Again and again and again. Really.
What are the five precepts?
I was just referring to Thich Nhat Hanh's thing.
Oh.
Buddhist thing. It's another form of thou shalt not. Good luck with that. I've coveted everybody's neighbor and their wife. That's all I do is covet. 24/7. Covet, covet, covet. Mine, 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 mine. Covet, covet, mine. That's it. That's all I've got. You got something better than that? Glad to hear about it. Mine, 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 mine.
You can start to do it.
do a stand-up comedy routine. Oh,
well, that's what this is.
Right.
This is the Advaita Comedy Club. If you're, you know, let's just say, nature is euphoria, okay, buckle in. But don't say anything about it. Don't do anything about yourself. That would be a buzzkill. You have to depart from this euphoria. Make yourself, basically create yourself out of nothing. Then you have the pleasure of complaining. And so, if that's what you've done, then okay, stay there, complain, and then figure out how to, you know, mitigate your complaints or make everyone else somehow responsible for your misery. All of which is, a involuntary, a so-called departure from euphoria. Thanks to what? Well, claiming, orientation. So-called selfing, if you want to use that one. But none of those are actually true, and you haven't actually done it. Because nothing happened prior to this moment. You don't have any evidence of it. Even though the so-called world and the greater universe is full to the brim of archaeological, reliably discoverable icons and artifacts, nothing happened prior to this moment.
Repeatable experiments.
Yep, even that.
Well, maybe not so repeatable.
And some not so repeatable.
They're getting a little weird now,
yeah,
too.
No.
So you could say the genesis of the imagination of self could be construed by the dubious capacity to reach back in the imagination of the past or reach forward into the imagination of the future and make sure that, you know, you're not paying attention to what's presently so. But that doesn't mean you can become present, because you can't. Because there is no fucking presence and there is no present. You cannot occupy this.
So all I have is remembering the past and anticipating the future?
Well, yes or no. This, whatever this is or isn't, and don't ask me, because I don't know, nor do I really care much. But if one is capable of, let's just say, the gift of slowly or suddenly, fitfully or smoothly, starting to release from the myth of claiming, well, this, let's say, reveals itself. It's not like you find anything, because this isn't anything. It didn't begin, it doesn't end, it has no actual duration. It's just a streaming, let's say, insistence of apparition. And in the midst of a streaming insistence of apparition, it appears that the so-called biped can claim. But so what? It's the insistence on resolving the dubious gift of claiming that makes the suffering seem to have so, right, to be so reliable. If you're injured physically, whether by stubbing your toe or, you know, serial sexual invasion from an unwanted adult, you're injured physically. But how that lands in the, you know, the curious construction of one's psyche, of one's identity, of one's, you know, welcome to my planet, is, I mean, it's ecstatic and tragic. And you can't really shake the, let's just say, the embedded or internalized shame that one might suffer from if one has been exploited in an as an undefended person or creature. And yet those kinds of tragedies, and they're occurring all over the world nonstop, whether it's, you know, some form of mutilation or human trafficking or bans on persons or Flat Earth or Holocaust denial. I mean, you know, we're just a party of nonstop exploitation.
Thank you.
Oh well, it hurts. It hurts here, right? It fucking hurts here. And that's okay, or not. And that doesn't necessarily embellish or interfere with the revelation of euphoria. Because the euphoria is not body-bound, it's not person-bound, it's not life-story-bound, it's not circumstantially-bound. The euphoria is what this is. And in the midst of it, it's a fucking hell realm. Euphoria is hell realm. And nobody's going to resolve that. How strange. A euphoric hell realm. Who would have thought?
I've been thinking about
suicide. Me too.
Whatever we claim to have, we actually don't have.
Yeah.
And when we know we can't claim it, that's what actually is.
Okay.
Like that's like.
Yeah, I'm moogable. It sure is. Yeah. No, it's wrenching. Yeah.
Say that again, Pat.
Whatever we claim to have, we actually cannot have. If you claim to have something, you actually can't have it. But that which actually is, you. I lost my own thought. But what is
happens to the
cannot
best
be had. But it is. And it always will be. So it's inescapable, but can never be claimed.
That's fun. This is inescapable, but can't be claimed. Yeah. And the claiming is the misery.
Because there has to be someone.
Yes, the claiming, you could say, is that so-called magical split from Advaita to Advaita, non-duality to duality. Yeah, but that's not true either, because none of that's actually even possible. It's only apparitionally so.
You're talking about or what I'm talking about.
There you go.
So it's okay.
That's a win. That's one way to agree. Yeah. Sounds like the Tower of Babel.
Later on, I'll write a poem. I'll work on it.
Yes. Misery's good for something. You can write a poem.
But there's something that seems fulfilling in something that actually is, even if there's no understanding or meaning, because it's actual.
If it is, yes. Yeah. Euphoria can come across that way. Sure. But it's also happy to say the opposite and still be very happy.
I guess.
Right? Euphoria is happy to say this, and it's happy to say
right,
that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't care.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is something. Oh, this is not. Oh, this might be. Maybe not. Right. Doesn't it can't afflict you.
So then that might be that I am attempting to covet.
Yes.
What can't be coveted.
There you go.
I'm working on it.
There you go. Yeah, that's right. Well, it does that. Not that we need to assign, you know, perpetrator.
Yeah.
I mean, any of us that imagines we are doing, have done, or will do something is just apparitional. And yet remarkably, you know, intimate, so-called intimate. Like, I'm myself. I am this body. I am my feelings. I am my memories. I am my longings. I am my regrets. I am all that. Or not. And you know, the so-called person or biped is not in control of to what degree they associate with the great I am as self. There's not. It's doing it all, but there's no it's, so there's not really any doing.
Well, that makes lots of sense.
But it's doing it all, but it's not doing anything. And it doesn't mind.
Is that a cone? It's
yes.
Doing it all, but it's not doing anything.
Yes, that's right. That's right. It's just melting Nazi face. It's so beautiful.
And in all seriousness, I'm looking for a good saying for this T-shirt. And they make up t-shirts.
We've got about a million of them. We just haven't printed a single t-shirt.
You let me know which saying you want, and I can make it happen.
All right, then.
I have a saying.
Here we go.
And feel free to
bank on it.
Wait a minute.
Well, it has to be Jeff.
The inexpressible is irrepressible.
That's a nice one.
Ooh. You can't argue with it.
This is deep.
Or the irrepressible inexpressible.
It's too spiritual.
You go both ways.
Melting Nazi face is got more of a...
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, we could do the melting Nazi face as one of the graphics.
Yeah. Nice guy saga.
Nice guy saga.
Come and look like this.
You know, imagine the large format version with the big old 18-inch melting face right in the center.
Nice. Really nice. And the eyeballs were like the last to drop out, right?
Oh my God.
So what do you call the Buddhist thing, the Om or something? So you can say Night Sky Song with a little Om on the front. Uh-huh. On the back.
Now get questions.
It would.
Yeah, good.
Good, get a lot of questions for Jeff.
Oh yeah, this is a movement.
Yeah, but you need on the front too the beautiful. First, the beautiful.
Oh,
the image.
It's so beautiful.
It's
yeah,
so beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
The image, you know that, and then on the back the melting Nazi face.
Whatever it was, they were worshiping in the ark. That's what we're into.
Can't wait to be in the Labor Day parade with those. Presence is all there is, but that's not saying so much. And it's not obtainable, which is saying perhaps less.
Or describable.
Yeah, well.
Infuriating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes for good poetry. Yeah, the impossibility of it all makes for good poetry. So the person that suffers, you know, insists on occupying presence, to be an occupier of presence. That's the person who suffers, and that suffering keeps us engaged sometimes for the long haul, because we have no idea how to, let's say, relax from or release the surreptitious agenda of occupation. So we're preoccupied with occupying, neither of which is possible, and so you could say that's the the vulnerability that suggests suffering.
The one that's occupied is preoccupied with being not preoccupied.
That's right.
Or
yeah.
Not,
see,
the one that
isn't it funny?
Occupied,
yeah.
Is preoccupied
with being not present.
So occupied.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm preoccupied with being less than this.
Yes.
Good luck.
Yeah. That's like a favorite of spiritual pursuits.
Oh, it's a big favorite.
While solidly occupying,
yes,
you're completely obsessed with getting out of it. I'm solidly occupying, I gotta get out of it.
Must get to my own demise on time.
Yeah. What the hell does that? It's clearly not gonna get you anywhere.
Well, even that conclusion doesn't work.
I like the way I put it, not gonna get you anywhere.
Yes, that's true. See, it always comes back to the violin that's singing my name. Try and find an on-ramp to nothing.
I have been, thank you very much.
Did you say you have one?
I have been.
Oh, I thought you had one.
Is this it? Now, maybe this will do it.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series, they talk about how to fly. And it consists of a very simple trick. All you have to do is throw yourself at the ground and miss. And he goes on to explain it. It sounds just like what you're talking about here, that all you have to do is just distract it at the right second. You're falling down, you're just about to hit the ground, and then suddenly, hey, look, and you forget that you should hit the ground, and you're flying away.
Euphoria on tap.
There you go.
You know, civilization, the myth of civilization relies very heavily on, pageantry and ritual. So if you look at all of the, let's just say, enviable enlightenment teachers, you're still looking through the lens of ritual and pageantry in hopes that a state of being, a state of mind is out there in your future that has to be better than the one that you think you're having presently. That's part of the old vocabulary. That's the meme of civilization, the meme of becoming, the meme of, individuation and or the amelioration of suffering. But the new meme is transtemporal communion.
Transtemporal. Outside of time.
Yes. See, what we're referring to as presence, which thankfully is not, is another metaphor, is transtemporal communion. And communion's wanky too, because there's no two things to be in communion with. But it's just used as a clumsy metaphor to evoke or emphasize a different vocabulary. If I continue to bring the human vocabulary along for the ride, then I'm going to keep hitting the wall of where the human vocabulary aims, which suffers from ritual and pageantry. You are, I would argue, just as capable of releasing yourself, releasing the myth of this, from the need to resolve through pageantry and ritual, and see spontaneously, clearly, effortlessly, that availability itself is transtemporal communion, because you don't need to find anything. That would suggest that...
I'd like that for a t-shirt.
Yeah, well, you know.
Availability itself.
We'll put it up on the...
Transtemporal communion.
Yes.
I want that t-shirt.
It's a bit long.
That's okay,
see, there's always a pro and a con.
Could
go in a circle.
Yeah, you have to like see somebody reading the t-shirt, and then you have to stop. So the person reading the t-shirt will have enough time to read it.
Revealability is liberation. But you could even say it's better than liberation. Because the invoking the L word triggers the old meme.
Yes. Fucker.
Yeah, that fucker, exactly. So, availability... Oh. That's the cessation of necessity. The cessation of necessity is the cessation of self. The cessation of time, of space, of implication. And that way, you could say you don't habitually drag the old meme into the emptiness of your new future.
Tired of necessity? Try Night Sky Sangha.
Put that on a coffee mug. Suffering is necessity. You see? I need to have, I need to feel, I need to get, I need to be, I need to avoid, I need to, right? I need. That's necessity. That's self. That's time.
I'm often caused to question the other members of my household. Are you able to discern the difference between your wants and your needs?
No.
Nobody can. I need that. It's not. If you take it away, do you quit? Do you like die? No. But then you don't need it.
Depends on who's running the ashram, right? Moment, were there any, is the inescapable demonstration of the cessation of necessity. And yet, we are quite capable of interjecting ourselves ongoingly as one in need. Go figure. Yeah, isn't it strange? Yeah, yeah. Weary to the bone. I know. I was okay as long as I kept thinking that you were the problem. But once I realized I was weary of myself, fuck. Things took a turn for the worse. Why do some of these Hindu schools or Buddhist schools emphasize, you know, you are not the body? Because it's a worn out, but, you know, for some maybe still useful, allegory, of body identification being, let's say, the culprit for, you know, misunderstanding. But it's not. It's not really true. Where are you going? You're going to escape this streaming sensuality? What cave do you think you can get to on time to erase this? Now, it might be curious to ask, by virtue of having a body, do you feel sensation? Or because of the absolute mystery of sensation, do you presume you're a body? By virtue of having a brain, are you now the proud owner of consciousness? Or is, whatever the fuck this might be, suggest that you have a brain?
I think they're discussing this in Congress, aren't they?
They seem to, yeah.
When does life begin? That's like the whole point.
Yeah, that's right. Sure, it could be used in the service of that conundrum. That's right.
I mean, is that what we're trying to define? Is that if you're conscious, then you're alive?
Well, it's just a question. One way of looking at it, which would be the Newtonian cosmological, right, chronology, is that it's like Terence McKenna said, just give me one lie and I'll take it from there, right? Referring to the Big Bang. Just give me one big fucking beautiful lie and I'll take it from there, which is what...
It's all followed so far.
That's right. It's followed so far.
Until you get down to about 10 to the minus 33rd, and not so much.
That's right. You start to see melting Nazi face when you
melting
get...
Melting Nazi face,
that's right.
Sure,
when you,
man.
Yeah, when,
it bugged the shit out of Einstein.
If you take Planck all the way home, you're like, oh, boy.
That's what brought me here. You want to know what brought me here was scientific research down to quantum level, so I encourage you to look into that.
Okay. Well, they're already here.
They're already here. Never mind. You're already here. There's still fascinating shit.
If you ride Planck all the way home, you're in trouble.
Nuts stuff, man. Nuts.
Trans what communion?
Transtemporal communion, but don't even bother remembering it.
Doesn't it sound Catholic?
Well, that's
I don't
a little
know.
Catholic.
Oh, kind of.
Like the way it sounds.
Forgive me, Father, for I assume.
Catholics did have some pretty far out language, really.
What is that? When the bread turns to the body, that's trans. I can't think of the word. I don't know.
Did you see the film Arrival?
No, I've not seen that yet.
You know, it was full of so many what I would consider, you know, like fun, call them liberation, you know, metaphors and implications. Though, of course, it was, the context was, you know, the earth, the world, humans, things from outer space and all that stuff. It's all spoiler alert. I have to stop. And you're going to see it. Yeah. After you see it, then we can have a fun conversation. But before then, it will just be... It won't be fair.
I have a different topic.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. Like, what you describe makes such sense to me. And clearly I've heard it before. If it didn't resonate, I wouldn't be here. And it seems so paradoxical to sitting with Maggie or sitting with Jeannie, who work very explicitly with the human context.
Yeah.
Like much more explicitly with our humanity.
Yeah.
And when I talked to Maggie about it briefly on the way here, you know, she and I don't want to speak for you, but she said, yeah, but it's pointing to, you know, something else.
Yes.
You more explicitly and clearly point to the something else, but it seems like there's
just,
other
I'm just
very
compensating
valid
for shortcomings.
Ways there. I don't know. I have a hard time understanding, I guess, more intellectually how they fit together. I don't write them off just out of hand as easily.
Yeah.
Because I find valid support there, and I don't think it's just about the human part of it. I think it's about a whole lot more than that.
Well,
in those other contexts,
you could say, you know, that to your involuntary credit that you feel it that way.
I mean, I just sat for a long time, really getting that as you work on those adhesions to beliefs and thoughts, and you work on those adhesions to pieces of your humanity.
Yeah.
And you get clearer and clearer, you eventually find yourself in this.
Yes.
And it's like such a different approach.
Well, it's like
really
a Maslow, it's like a Maslow pyramid in a sense. you can, you know, thankfully you can pull on any string at all that appears in the mythic field of what you take yourself to be. And if you're sincere, and let's just say if you are imbued involuntarily with a certain quality of sincerity, and you really pull on that string, well, it will respond. It'll unravel for you. And you might, let's say, pass through what we would call the humanities approach to get to something that's, let's just say, direct or subtler or less, you know, or more rational, but it doesn't have to be hierarchical. You can drop right into, you know, obliteration through the humanities approach itself without, let's say, passing through the outgassing of what, you know, we like to do, which is not to emphasize the humanities approach except to, you know, complain about imminent extinction just for the thrill of it. But to get into the, let's just call it the quantum mechanics of consciousness, because that's what's running the show. The humanities approach is a, right, imposition, superimposition, on top of something that's subtler, which is, let's just say, you know, the artfulness of consciousness. Geometry, the sacred geometry of consciousness, can be worked with directly. At machine language level, rather than having to rely on or go through the software level. But if you pull on either string, you'll you'll demise.
I kind of feel like I'm pulling on a bunch of them all at the same time. Like, give me a string, I'll pull on it, man.
That's great. Sure, it's great.
Well, I think it's a little against the given culture to thumb one's nose at the given culture, of what's happening now, with so many retreats and things to do and ways to occupy yourself and the spiritual, et cetera. So, it is sort of a thumb in the nose in that respect.
I think that there's a lot of places to hide in this kind of an approach. Like you have talked about Wayne Lickerman, you're not particularly fond of, kind of as a person, who he was, even though...
I love Wayne. He's more of a wanker than I am, so what's not to love?
I'm wondering So you have your meeting and you talk about things and you take it in, and then how does that play out in your life, like in the experience of your life? Does it like change the experience in some way, or does it
any notion that you have of your life? Any notion you have of your life is a myth. There is no life.
I can get that at an intellectual level. Okay?
No, you can't. Can't. Not to single you out. Nobody can.
Well, I mean, I can imagine what you're talking about.
Okay.
Okay. My imagination can go there.
Yeah, nice. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And so your imagination then wants to find, not just yours, but anyone's imagination, then would naturally want to find, well, what's the practical... application. What's the implication? What would it look like? What would it feel like? What should I expect? How would I know whether I'm getting it or not? And that, again, is just imagination. All you have at your disposal is imagination. And so I can respond to that question by saying, well, you should look out for this, 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 and this. Expect to find this, 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 and this. Your suffering will be worse. Your happiness will be of shorter duration. You'll start to care a lot about things you shouldn't and not at all about things you should. It'll just fuck you up beyond recognition, and welcome to the party. Or I could say, nice to see you. I don't know what's supposed to happen to anybody. Nothing's happening. Not now, not ever. Never happened. It's just streaming imagination. It's just streaming association. It's the myth of implication. So it could, if it gets deep enough, could turn out to be the collapse of the loyalty that we place on the myth of one's life. And then the life can be what it's always been. None of your business. No one's life is really any of their business. It's just only imaginarily so. So I don't know if that works or not. I don't know what's happening. Euphoria is, it's dismembering. And that's the fate.
So how do you dismember?
You don't. You just loiter. It does it. You loiter about. You see the incredulity of whatever imagination is appearing. And let's say over time or all at once, and those two are not at odds. You forget what you were going to ask about.
And you don't care about what you were going to ask about.
Yeah. The dismembering has nothing to do with your body or your mind or your life or your loyalty, your superstition, your religion. It actually has nothing at all to do with you. Because the sense of you, the sense of I, the sense of anyone is only apparitionally appearing. So there, in a sense, there is no dismembering. There can't be. But that's the dismembering. You can't actually begin. And so there's nothing to take away from you. And yet, the imagination of oneself as the cogency of time doesn't quit. It's a hellacious miracle.
Every time you say that, I get closer and closer. It's like I come here every week and I keep saying it. I keep almost getting it. One of these weeks, I'm going to get a little closer.
Yeah, you could say, you know, participating in an innocuous, useless conversation can bear some fruit. Don't ask me.
It's very hard.
I hold on to something that is similar to everything else I say, but nothing is, capital IS, nothing is happening.
Nothing
so
is,
you
yeah.
Have the, right. You have the negative and the positive.
We go.
Well, that's an interesting statement.
Yeah,
negative
nothing
and
is
positive
happening.
Mind equals blown. I gotta write that down.
Yeah.
Sure. Nothing, capital is happening.
Nothing, yes.
So there, maybe that's the t-shirt. Not
there's a quote on Urban Guru. They show, it's like a little sound bite that they put out. And it's, you can tell it's from an old comedy routine. And it's, hey, what are you looking for? Oh, nothing. What are you looking for? Oh, I'm looking for nothing. No, but what are you, I'm looking for nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, is that what you're saying?
It's very curious.
Oh, it doesn't
even underline
to anthropomorphize whatever this is or isn't. You could say is our nature is a miraculous gift, perhaps a dubious one, but miraculous nevertheless. So this anthropomorphizes nonstop, effortlessly, and never even considers or notices its magical power to anthropomorphize. And that includes body, time, self, sentiment, utility, implication, practicality, past, tragedy, things to get, things to avoid, like instantaneously, it just goes whack! And then we wonder, well, coming to this conversation once, I got fooled into it. Why would I ever come again? I don't know.
Let alone four times a week.
Let alone four times a week.
Nothing is the only game in town.
Is there dental insurance with that?
Even if you're throwing up and your bunions are acting out. Yeah. The show must go on.
Oh.
There's nothing in this for me. Meaning for anyone. There's nothing in this for anyone. This isn't about anything.
And the
suffering is when, oh yeah, there's definitely something in this for me, and this is definitely about something. I'm going to figure it out and then benefit from it. That's like, oh boy, that's not happening. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to benefit from this. You're not going to figure it out.
I benefit from this. I get good laughs on a regular basis.
Laughs are good.
Good food. I like buffets, what can I say?
Yeah, I'm a buffet
and
kind
folks
of person.
Hang out with. I benefit. Yeah.
That's right.
I like it.
That's right. Let's see. Buffet, laughter. I think I'll come again. I don't know what the guy's talking about, but who cares?
I find this meeting to clear a new brush, you know, to clear a new trail that I've never been down.
Sweet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So much of my life is just very cyclical. Week, month,
oh,
year,
boy.
Week,
yes.
Month, year, week,
yeah.
Month, holiday,
yeah.
Year,
yeah.
Week, month, year.
Right.
But here, you're giving me a chance to proceed in a direction toward a place I've never been.
Nice. Yeah.
Or the unknown.
Well, in a sense, you know, yeah, I mean, it's lovely that, you know, comes in and can be felt and articulated and so nicely. And that's all this ever is.
Well, I wasn't having any luck with myself, so it's nice that you're able to help to point me in the right direction.
Yeah, that's the reason for the perennial privilege of what appears to be the what's that called when you jump over someone's back and then you jump over someone's back?
Leapfrog.
Yes, this is the leapfrogging of consciousness. At one, you know, one day you're aspiring, the next day, curiously, you might have something to say that could benefit someone that's aspiring. And it just keeps leapfrogging. Yeah.
Sounds like fun to me.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. Yeah, you're a miserable seeker for as long as you're a miserable seeker, and, you know, maybe you wake up one day and you're like, something else.
Godspeed, everybody.
See you, Jamie.
Godspeed.
Rains all day long. Jeff, I'll be off in Florida for a little bit of May, so I'm not around.
All right.
Back towards the end of May.
Would you like us to miss you or not?
If there is a miss.
All right, we'll miss you.
You're missed.
Very nice to meet you.
Oh, pleasure. Thanks.
Oh, this was your first time here? Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Sharon.
Hey, Sharon. Melissa.
Melissa.
How do we do?
I got two parts. Part one, part two. There's a part three. We're ready.
Could be.
What were you doing?
I was recording. I was hanging for the last 3 days at my house. Oh, by the way, I'll see you soon.
Okay, good.
Maggie came in from out of town, and I just spent my house with her for the last 3 days.
Melissa or
Maggie? Melissa was part of the group. She's from
Hershey. You're leaving it,
Maggie?
You're leaving it?
And yes. Some of the ladies from the group said, oh, Maggie's going to your like Sunday night Skysonga thing. Will you record it?
Bye.
So I said, sure. And Jeff brought his recorder, but his batteries went bad. So
you have a digital recorder?
What group?
I have a digital recorder. I just didn't make sure I had two extra AA batteries. Usually when we use them on Thursdays, I plug it into the wall, but that outlet was too far away.
So she works with people in a similar kind of way. Similar, but it's her own thing, really. It's an inquiry, but it's a way different kind of inquiry. It's more like human-based, people-based.
Yeah.
Bring on your human quirks and we'll work on it. Very different approach. It'll make Jeff's skin crawl.
That doesn't meet very well with what we talk about.
Well, again, it's a compensation for my inability to get any mileage out of it.
For yourself or others?
Both.
But it's not. It is not mutually exclusive.
No, no.
You know, I spent 5 days with Jeannie Zandi, and she's all warm, fuzzy, human stuff.
Yeah.
And then I spent 3 days with Maggie, and now I'm here, and they all make sense to me. There isn't just one lexicon for this.
Yeah.
There's only one thing that doesn't make any sense to you, and that's me.
Yeah, and the one thing that still doesn't make sense to you,
damn straight,
is the most formidable power in the universe.
That's Big Dave.
It's Dave.
You're ordering it at a 4,000, and you're
glad I can help.
Dave, it's not your fault. You're so formidable. Conceived in a molten river. One ring to rule them all. It's Dave.
Have you ever gone to any of the human unraveling things with her?
I've been to Byron Katie with her.
He went to the very first Byron Katie event, and he went to...
I went to a couple.
He was at Racine College with me to see Maggie in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I picked it out. I sold it to him as like a retreat center, resort, because they had a picture of a pool and this and that. We get there, and
Maggie is
the only game in town in this place. There wasn't even really a town. I mean, it's a really cool old college. But
thanks for coming out, Melissa.
I had advertised it like, Dave, if you want to sit through the session, sit through. If you're not interested, I'm sure there'll be plenty of resort-ish kind of things to do.
That
was the only game in town.
I had a good time. I enjoyed myself.
You did enjoy yourself.
I had a great time.
Hey, listen, watching other people get dismantled is kind of a kick.
That's it. Dave liked that.
I was dismantled for years. Why not let somebody else do it?
That's right. Yeah, really. I ran a fucking skating rink.
I grew up with my dad.
Yeah, exactly.
He dismantled the crap out of me.
There you go.
This is leapfrog. Sometimes you watch, sometimes you get dismantled.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm going to sit in the center.
I think I've created an issue for everybody.
You like it?
Bring it in ice cream.
I'm thinking about a waffle and ice cream.
Stop that thinking. Stop that.
You're going to drip.
And actualize. Do you want me to get it for you?
Yes, I.
You're dripping off your cup.
And I don't want. I didn't pay, so I mean, I'm not.
Have a moral issue.
I'm not going to pay for it either.
Interesting conundrum.
I'm just going to want.
Yeah, wanting's good.
Yeah. I think we've all been doing that for most of our lives.
Jaden's 14. And, you know, Betty, too, like, she can eat. Just bring her and her friends here one day, drop them off.
Oh, yeah.
Let them hang, sit, yeah. You know, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wander around campus, come back,
eat.
Yeah.
Have a ball.
Yeah.
When I do pay, I get my money's worth out of it.
Yeah.
One reason I don't want to pay.
I'm really, I'll be compelled.
I'm obligated to eat as much as I can.
I'll be obligated to calorie up.
Yes, if you can still stand after having been here, then you didn't get your full measure.
It's fairly simple. Euphoria loves to tell stories. And the human, you could say, is the consequence of the story told.
This troubles me greatly because I am, so to hear me say, a competitive storyteller.
But we all are. With ourselves.
Okay.
I'm always... My stories are always competing with my stories. What else could they compete with?
Okay. I write stories on spec and then enter contests for money.
Well, that's fine. I mean, in that case, then, you know, the gift of storytelling is being monetized in your case, and, you know, that's fantastic.
I'm very serious. I've studied storytelling. I'm really into
Hemingway
it.
Did the same thing.
Well, you're
knee-deep
in it, buddy.
You're a poet.
Yeah.
So we're
it's
not
kind of a storyteller.
We're not.
I'm just trying to. I'm actually just trying to come up with one thing that is true. That's it.
I've been working on it for a while.
That's it.
Truth, huh? You like truth?
Yeah.
You're gonna do it. I know about the one truth.
I can tell you what my favorite word is.
What's your favorite word?
Grand eloquence. Because it's all a lie. It's bombastic lying.
Wow.
Grand eloquence. So that's good.
Bombastic lying. The association with the stories that Euphoria tells becomes the stuff of one so-called identity.
And that's what we just did for the last 3 days.
Yeah.
Was take a look at that
the story
attachment to the stories and little by little see how they don't make sense.
I want to do that with my friend Ken sometime.
Well, yeah, Ken might totally self-explode.
He's too well defended.
He's really well defended.
Was
actually,
like a
we
unraveling?
Mostly are.
Yeah, why not?
But he's that's so extra well to something. But yeah,
I mean, what's the workshop?
He's kind of his mental
stories.
Yeah.
Why do you want to do that with him? So that you're less irritated in his company.
Some of his stories. It's like
that's why they.
But that works.
Some of the stories.
I can't say you.
He usually responds to the shushing, right?
My first workshop.
Yeah, but then I try to tell the story and you were you. No, it's just not a good story. Let it go. It's not that interesting.
Listen.
Not that
some people are easier to be with than others.
You're serving an important when it becomes impossible to be with yourself, but you're sure.
Yeah, if the, you know, articulate unraveling of stories can serve to release one from the identification as self with self, then that's a, you know, of course it's a good string to pull on.
It's unraveling in the sense that I'm speaking for Maggie, but and tell me if I'm not getting it right, but like she helps me. She helps you walk down the road to see the insanity of what the thought is giving you.
to see where they're like, where it really doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like double mindfuck is mentioned a lot.
Yes.
Like where is this just, it's like, it's insane.
Yep.
And you start to really get how it doesn't serve.
All right. And, then that's, yeah.
But it's less logical than that in that.
Sure.
You can't lie to yourself. You can't make it somebody else's fault. You can't, like, you can't, it kind of takes you into a corner because you start to see it.
Yes. Sure.
And ultimately, all that I'm talking about is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different languages, different words.
Sure.
Way different languages.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have certain limitations on, you know, what interests me at this whatever point. So I like to go to the machine language level.
You're that kind of guy.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, in my own pursuit of teachings and teachers and a lot of, call it inner work and process work and things, the things that, you know, thrilled me the most or, you know, struck me deepest were the machine language teaching. So, you know, then so you gravitate toward naturally what lights you up. The vocabulary and the metaphors and the so-called life experience that lights you up, and you're invariably going to become a gifted mouthpiece of that.
I wish I could have seen your face when I told you what Jeannie referenced. When I mentioned, to fill you guys in, I mentioned another participant at Jeannie's Andes retreat who I flagged from the first time I met her as I just really liked her. And she's ready to offer what she has to offer.
Yeah.
Jeannie used the analogy. She's like, well, honey, and she was working with her liver. She says, honey, your milk has come in, and, you know, your boobs are just going to hurt until you find somebody that's going to, like, feed on you. I gave it to Jeff over the phone. I was like, I should have waited and given this to him in person.
Jeannie's a master. She's a sage.
She uses a lot of mothering analogies.
That's right.
It is the leapfrog, and we're always leapfrogging. Whether
sure.
you have a big wad to offer, or whether you have just like a little tidbit, we're always we're intertwined. Like we're not doing this
on the way to extinction. We're pretty cooperative.
Great cartoon with the people bobbing in the water as the Titanic goes down. They're all holding their phones up, taking pictures.
That's great.
So this is a Titanic selfie.
Look at that guy. He's got a GoPro. He's going to really get the video.
You could call the, you know, stories are just, right, effulgently occurring. That doesn't make them good or bad or anything. Even the degree of loyalty to the story is neither good nor bad nor anything. If there's something could be said about a certain quality of release, the movement of stories, which is, you know, a lovely field of infinity. Stories aren't limited to, you know, human mean. As you said, you know, you have a certain kind of conversation and a new path, a new fork opens, a new texture, a new feeling opens. And that's all this is doing. It just keeps opening to a new, you know, potency. And that potency loves to have something to say about itself. So it will find a new poem. A new story, a new vocabulary, a new way of weaving words, a new way of weaving sentiment. Because it just keeps filling itself. It's a vacuum that just keeps filling itself with association, with metaphor.
Some people say that when a dog plays with a bone, dancing around with a bone, it's writing a story.
Yes, okay, beautifully put. It is, yeah. It is writing a story. Sure. You could say there are, you know, certain, let's just say, milestones. At one dense kind of milestone, one feels the victim of circumstances and events that are outside of oneself. That's one kind of a story. That's one way of, you know, dancing with infinity. And then you could say one enjoys some kind of emotional maturity, and the pandemic of codependency starts to release a little bit. And that's a different kind of story. There's more elasticity. There's a little more, you know, fun, maybe a little more passion or compassion as one's released from the reflex of codependency. It's another kind of story. And then identity, you know, starts to be, one starts to be released from identity, in that the presence and absence of stories is no longer fomenting, right, reactivity in one's experience. So it's, that's another, you know, relationship with infinity. And, you know, if you want to go to Ramakrishna's demonstrative samadhis, you know, non-recordable experience. Okay, so that's another, right, dance with this. That there is no, apparently, you know, no recording of physicality, no recording of phenomenon, no recording of anything that's associatable at all with anything at all. That's another way of dancing with infinity. Infinity dancing with infinity.
Virtual buffet.
It's just like Del Del.
It is. With ice cream at the end, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with cranberry sauce.
Pizza.
And pizza. And little pieces of pizza into the ice cream bowl. Yeah.
Ice cream on top of the pizza with cranberry sauce.
And now we're talking a taco.
Roll that puppy up.
The difficulty, the challenge with it, like with anything, is that the reflex of objectifying whatever is appearing in or as experience, you know, is kind of gnarly. So the reflex of objectifying can make it appear as if I'm not there yet. So there's something more, right? There's something more for me, something left to do. There's a higher level of understanding just around the corner. There's not. And the slow or sudden or both involuntary release of objectification reveals what there is for it to reveal. You can't say what that is. You needn't say what it is. But I would say that's the, you know, that euphoric revelation is what, you know, let's say draws us together tribally to kick it around. Barbecue weather.
We have.
Yeah.
On the beach.
we'll have a fire soon.
Yeah. All right.
So we're not going to see Ken until the fall?
Right.
Well, so you don't need to fix it.